News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning. It is a good morning. It's going to be a lot of good mornings strung together here. Good days, too.
Yeah, weather-wise, at least.
Got a nice, nice stretch of weather beginning today, probably through next Monday, with no chance of rain and all kinds of mild, you know, temperatures that are where they should be, or maybe a little bit warmer than that. And of course, Mardi Gras downtown Mobile kicks off Friday, so all good stuff.
So we left the last hour, and we'll get to Quinn Hillier here in just a minute,
sure.
But I want to get to a text because we were talking last hour about these headphones I ordered.
Yeah. Did you know that you were getting them from China?
I had no idea.
Okay.
Because this is a company I've used plenty of times before. I don't know where Audio Technica is from. I don't know if they're
in Beijing.
I guess, apparently. So, yeah, I ordered those headphones from Amazon and then found out they were coming from China, which I've been trying to reduce my consumption of Chinese goods. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dang, well, that stinks. And then I get an email this morning. They said that I would not be receiving the order and to have a nice life, which was a bit surprising. Grant said, we tried ordering two pink BB guns for the girls before Christmas, and apparently those were coming from China as well. He said, after 3 weeks and just 5 days before Christmas, we got a similar message about our refund and shopping experience. So the supply chain crisis is real, but apparently only if you're getting things from China.
BB guns and
headphones.
Cool looking headphones. Quinn Hillier, what do you make of the outfit in China, concluding their email conversation with Dalton, saying "Have a nice life." They're not expecting him to return, considering that customer experience.
Well, typical red Chinese. Look, yeah. they don't put much stock on life. So if they say "Have a nice life," I would watch my back.
Yeah.
That might mean that they don't want your life to go on much longer.
They might be thinking 2 or 3 more weeks max. Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Have a nice half a month.
So they obviously have a lot going on in China right now with the Olympics.
Yeah,
and as we talk with Quinn, quinnhillier.com, mm-hmm. Washington Examiner. Have you watched a single second of the Olympics yet, Quinn?
I was waiting to pick up a barbecue sandwich the other day, and they had the Olympics on, and so I saw some white, like snow and stuff in the background, but I deliberately kept staring down at the counter so I wouldn't see what was going on. So yeah, I probably saw 1 or 2 seconds, but I don't know what they were of.
They've already sent Mike Tirico home, an NBC broadcaster. I think many of us have seen him call games, and he was actually somewhat critical of the Chinese during one of his appearances on NBC.
They've sent him home with no explanation, right?
Well, yeah,
NBC
sent him home. He was supposed to come back Thursday, and they sent him home early. He's already apparently back or headed back to the U.S., and all he did was mention that China is the home place of COVID, and he also said that there are a lot of human rights issues at play there, and that the U.S. had started a diplomatic boycott, and it seems like China is being just as
China-like.
China-like as everyone expected them. Yeah. So Tirico out.
NBC should have told China to stick it.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what happened. Maybe we'll get it cleared up. I'm playing golf with Tirico on Thursday.
Good. So that'll settle it.
He's in Azalea City.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So the big news on this side of the Atlantic, Quinn, or Pacific, I should say, this side of the Pacific, is the ruling yesterday from the Supreme Court, and it had to do with Alabama and the drawing or redrawing of congressional district lines. And in a 5-4 ruling, they decided to stay, which means they are not going to force the state to redraw the lines as we head into midterms. Your overall opinion on the Supreme Court's ruling yesterday?
Well, the Supreme Court did the right thing. Look, if the state legislative lines had been absolutely clearly wrong, then they would have allowed the lower court to go ahead and draw new lines. But as Brett Kavanaugh said, Justice Kavanaugh, who sort of wrote a concurring opinion that stands as sort of the reasoning for the court, he said, my words, not his, but basically tie goes to the state legislature. And he said this is going to be a very close case, and meanwhile it's so close to the election that it's not fair or right, including not constitutionally right, to have a court second-guessing a legislature this close to an election when, you know, and leave everything up in the air. So this means that the line's drawn by the state legislature, led by our own local guy, Chris Pringle, stay in place for 2 years. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court will have time to hear the full argument on the merits, and they can decide that, but for the 2024 cycle, not for the 2022 elections. Does that make sense?
Yep. Kavanaugh said that he wrote that the timing was definitely a factor in the decision.
And timing was the key factor for Kavanaugh. I don't think it was the key factor for Clarence Thomas, if you've seen his opinions.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't write on this one, but in the past he's basically said the courts, except in only the most dire circumstances, should the courts ever overrule state legislatures on redistricting. That's his reading of the Constitution.
Okay.
Look, I wrote exactly this, that the court should issue a stay and probably would issue a stay. I wrote that 10 days ago, but I've been covering this stuff for 30 years, and it is the Supreme Court has created the biggest muddle in redistricting law that you can possibly imagine, because in one set of cases or series of cases, starting with one known as Jingles or Gingles, they say that if you don't break other rules of redistricting and you can draw a new black majority or minority majority district, you should. But in another set of cases, starting with Shaw versus Reno, they say that you cannot use race as the primary determinant.
Mm-hmm.
So they say you should use race as a determinant, but you should not use race as the primary determinant. That leaves lower court judges trying, you know, it's like how many racists can dance on the head of a pin instead of how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. It makes no sense. It's a jumble that almost nobody can figure out.
So the response from the Democratic Party chairman of the state, Chris England, who is of course a state representative, he was not happy with that ruling. I don't know if he was being extra dramatic, but this just seems like... So let me just tell you what Chris England said. So he said, today's SCOTUS decision means that the canary in the coal mine just died. If there was ever a time for Congress to act on voting rights legislation, now would be it. Make no mistake, this is not a good outcome. Tonight, we will feel the sorrow that comes from watching our forebears' hard-won work be wiped out with the stroke of a pen from the shadows, but tomorrow is a new day with new possibilities, and we will fight, work, and organize to regain and protect voting rights for Americans of all colors. Was their forebears' hard-won work wiped out with the stroke of a pen? That
no,
seems
okay.
Dramatic.
Riddle me this, Joker. or maybe it was the Riddler that said
yeah. That's right.
Anyway,
Batman.
For 30 years, since this section of since the first redistricting after the rewriting of the Voting Rights Act in, like, the 1980s. So starting with the 1990 census, Alabama has only had one black majority district. The courts, every time, have approved that one black majority district, saying that's absolutely in line with what the Constitution and the Voting Rights Act says. Well, between 2010 and 2020, the black voting percentage statewide went up from only like 25.5 to 27.25, something like that. So basically, it stayed static. So the black population stays static, and yet they are now saying that what has been okay for 30 years with the same basic population is now not okay. That, where do judges come up with that? Where does anybody come up with, you must do now what you did not have to do for 30 years, even though the Constitution hasn't changed, the law hasn't changed, and the population percentage hasn't changed. It makes no sense.
And I think it was Pringle or someone else that said that they ran like 200 computer simulations to using the numbers and all different kinds of lines, and they could not make a second majority district there. So that was interesting. Also, I guess.
Well, let me jump in here. They, I'm not sure he's saying that they cannot do it. I'm saying they cannot do it while still upholding the other principles that the Supreme Court, in its case law, has done. They could manage a way to do it, but it would be, you know, it would break up communities. It would, it would have one of these long, squiggly lines on the district line that makes no sense.
Yeah.
But the other thing it would do, and here's why, frankly, the Democrats should be happy, to create barely a second black majority district. They probably would have had to take existing black voters from black Terry Sewell's district. She is the congresswoman from just north of us, a wonderful lady. They would have had to take black voters from her district to move into an adjoining district to make that adjoining district black majority. And guess what? That would move her down from like 62% to about 51%.
Right. Much tighter race, yeah.
Much tighter race. And she wouldn't be guaranteed to win if there's a turnout differential at all. So she's actually liking this, whether she can say so or
right,
not.
Right, right.
She likes this.
She likes it the way it is.
But my last thing to say is none of this should be going on, because I don't care if we have seven blacks or five blacks or two blacks or seven whites or two whites. I don't care. We should not care one way or another about the racial percentages of a voting district. All we should care about is natural city lines, county lines, and natural geographic lines.
Right.
Like, you know, rivers and mountain ranges and stuff like that.
Because Mobile County would have likely been split in half and shared the same district with someone all the way on the, you know, Georgia line. It just didn't seem to make a lot of sense. One more overall question. You know, this was a 5-4 vote from the Supreme Court. Are we done seeing unanimity in the Supreme Court? Is everything going to be partisan from here on out?
No, we're not. I mean, but it's usually the cases that are that get less attention that remain unanimous. But some of these hot button issues, we're not likely to see much unanimity, and it's because the hot button issues are also the ones where it just so happens that the interpretations of the Constitution are that much murkier or that much sort of tougher to figure out according to the competing constitutional theories.
A lot more to get to, Quinn. Also, I've got I'll have one more question on all that, and we're going to get to a number of other issues, too, right around the corner here.
That's right. Talking with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. You can read his work on the Washington Examiner and order his books from Amazon. They'll come from America, not from China.
I was going to say, have your headphones arrived?
The Matt Jones Trilogy.
Have a nice life.
Have a nice life. More Quinn Hillier on the way.
Morning, Van and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Quinn Hillier from quinnhillier.com.
That's right, and joining us on this Tuesday, as he always does, and we were talking redistricting and last night's Supreme Court ruling that the initial map drawn by the Alabama Congress could stay. And Dan, did you say you had another question for Quinn about this redistricting thing?
Yeah, just real quick, Quinn, you know, we're one state, there's 49 others, or this kind of hubbub going on in the other states, because I guess they've all been redistricting, right?
Yeah, North Carolina has had sort of a similar circumstance, but it was less overtly racial, and so their elections have been on off in terms of their election schedule, sort of like ours was threatened to be, but it didn't reach the Supreme Court, and there's sort of technical legal reasons. You know, there was a big challenge in Ohio where Republicans lost. So yeah, it is going on across the country. But of course, this being Alabama, the heart of, you know, George Wallace, Bull Connor, the national media really likes to pay attention to us.
Hey,
Let me make this point, because I'm on my soapbox here. It's been my soapbox my entire adult life. Race shouldn't matter, and by now, it actually doesn't to most voters. There is no doubt in my mind that if white Alabama conservatives had a choice between Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, black Republican, and Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, white Democrat, they would choose Tim Scott, the black man, because he represents their views more. And in New York, you could have a 100% African-American district that was sort of lower income, and they would choose Chuck Schumer over the black man, Tim Scott, because race doesn't matter as much as views and competence, et cetera, et cetera. In Mobile, we have proven this. The last five mayor races have gone to a candidate of the race that was a minority in the city at the time. Sam Jones won twice when Mobile was still a white-majority city. Sandy Stimson, white man, has won three times now in a row after the city went to black-majority voting population. So it's the man or the woman that matters. It's the views and the competence that matters. It's not the race. We need to move beyond race.
And while the congressional redistricting, that conversation looks like it'll be put off for a couple more years, we're going to deal with the racial conversation here in Mobile as city council lines are redrawn here over the next 6.5 months. But Quinn, in our last couple minutes here, I'm picturing the Democrats with a humorously large cane pulling Justice Breyer off the stage and getting rid of him so they can pull their own new Supreme Court justice and put him on there. Where do you think Biden should go?
Put her.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Put her on there. Which direction do you think Biden is going to go through all this?
Well, first of all, he's gone the wrong direction by saying it has to be a black woman, although, frankly, he's got a lot of good black women to choose from, so it's fine if it's a black woman. He just shouldn't say that that's all he's choosing from. But be that as it may, he needs to find one with a more moderate record, somebody that can get confirmed pretty easily, somebody that can garner Republican votes, bring the country back together. Look, Republicans might still, you might have more than half Republicans vote against whoever he chooses, but there won't be the vitriol, there won't be the 50-50 vote tiebreak by Kamala Harris. He needs to govern as he campaigned, which was claiming to be closer to the center. And there are several on his short list that are old line liberals rather than radical leftists. He needs to go liberal, not left.
Right. Will he? In 30 seconds, will he?
I don't think he will, because he has become a tool of the radical left.
All right.
It's called Biden a tool. That's almost the way China just fell short of calling Dalton a tool.
Yeah, it was close.
But they wished him a happy life.
Hey, Quinn, people can read your newest writings in multiple places. Tell them where they can get those.
Well, you can subscribe to QuinnHillier.com for free. Just go to QuinnHillier.com and push the subscribe button, enter your email. Or just about every day I've got something at, just Google my name and Washington Examiner.
Thank you so much, Quinn, for your insight this morning. We appreciate it a lot.
That's Quinn Hillier, a man very excited by the new hiring from the New Orleans Saints. Actually, I don't know if he was very excited.
I think he thought it was the right choice.
The right move, Dennis Allen. Yeah. Hey, coming up, Pete Rehm, a host here on FM Talk 106.5 with Common Sense Radio, and now a congressional candidate. We'll talk with him coming up in just a few minutes right here on Mobile Mornings.
Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 835. It's 25-9. It's also it's a beautiful morning. And this, I'm telling y'all, this is an indicator of what's to come. We're going to have a bunch of nice days back to back to back. Looks like through the weekend.
Yeah, perfect timing with Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Really kicking off this Friday in Mobile.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And looking forward to the weather the rest of the week. And also looking forward to Thursday night. That'll be the next airing of Common Sense Radio or Common Sense Town Hall right here on FM Talk 106.5, hosted by the great Pete Rehm. And Pete joins us this morning. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dalton. Good morning, Dan. But believe it or not, we are in our 11th year on Common Sense Radio, which is just mind-boggling that the FCC has let it slide for that long.
Yeah, something I wanted to ask you, before we get into your campaign here and also your take on some current events, when do you start thinking about which Reagan quote you'll use for the Thursday night show? I mean, does it start immediately after your last show ends? I've wondered
how... You know, I shouldn't admit this on the air, but I sort of subscribe to the, if you wait the last 5 minutes, it only takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's usually that day, because usually I try to, on Thursday during the day, I start looking, usually around lunchtime, and I start searching. So it actually isn't 5 minutes. I usually start searching lunchtime. Well, sometimes I find it in 5 minutes, and sometimes it takes me forever to find one.
And you find some deep cuts. I mean, it's crazy some of these, some of this audio you're able to find from the former president. And it would be interesting to hear his take on a lot of the things that are going on nowadays. But, Pete, let's talk about you jumped into the race for state Senate. That'd be District 33 and going up against the incumbent Democrat Vivian Figures. I believe you're the only Republican in the race, right?
That's right. It's just I have no primary opposition, and Senator Figures has no primary opposition, so the main event will not be till November when the general election. And people may not know, or in the redistricting for the state legislature, there was a lot of news that District 33 was redistricted to include Spanish Fort. A lot of attention there, but people don't realize they also came across I-65 and took in a bunch of neighborhoods west of I-65 along mm-hmm. Cottage Hill, which is where I live, and that district led me into 33, and that's what sort of, when that happened, sort of started the whole thought process and got us to where we're at, where we're a qualified candidate for Alabama State Senate District 33.
You kind of answered my next question, but maybe not fully. So, like Dalton was asking about the Reagan quotes, how long ago did you begin to consider running for Senate?
Well, I've been politically active for a couple of decades now, and I actually ran for office. It's been over 10 years since I've run for office, and I always had in the back of my mind, if there was an opportunity to serve and it made sense, that I would certainly consider it, because people ask me all the time and I never say no. So it's if the Lord opens the door, if the timing is right. And, for a long time I was in districts where, I had a good senator, David Sessions, and Margie Wilcox was my representative. There's no reason, I had good people representing us, no reason to run. And when I saw that I was redistricted into 33, it got me thinking about it, and the timing was good, because they said, look, we don't have adequate representation in District 33, and there's a lot of issues in the state of Alabama that are starting to weigh on my mind, that I think on weigh not my mind, but all Alabamians, about infrastructure, and in particular, I think one of my big planks will be education reform.
Yeah.
And it just, the timing became right. Said, you know what? We need things done in Montgomery on a whole host of issues. We need stronger advocacy. I'm in a new district. It's time to run.
Let's talk about some of those state issues, Pete, and a bit of a Hail Mary. Some are describing Senator Del Marsh's push for school choice here. It seems like it's going to be really tough to get his bill as written through the legislature this session, but what do you think of how that bill's written? I mean, right around $5,500 per Alabama taxpayer to basically use for education how they wish.
In the overall concept, I am in agreement with the overall broad brush concept, but there are some things that need to be worked out on that. And because I'm a school voucher proponent, the money should follow the child, and the parents should have the choice. But one of the things we got to balance is, and this is emblematic of District 33, in Spanish Fork, they have a very, very good public school system, and there's very few complaints about it. They all love their public school system. They want that system protected. If you come into the Mobile County side, there's a lot of inadequacies and complaints and problems, and they would want more school vouchers or more choices. And you see that already, that we have a lot of parochial and private schools, and I think there are a lot of working parents that would like that option. So there's some more work to do to balance how you do a voucher system that protects public schools in those areas where they're performing and the people like them, and then still gives a choice in those areas where the public schools are not performing. And look, at the end of the day, it's all about the parents having the choice, that if all of a sudden they find out at school that their children are being taught Marxist nonsense, and that that gender, you know, there's transgender fluidity in kindergarten, you have a choice. You can walk away from that nonsense. That's really the goal.
And not just those things, Pete, but just schools that are basically way underperforming. And sadly, some of those are in the more metropolitan areas of the state of Alabama, including the city of Mobile.
Well, and that's really a crisis where we're not focusing enough. Mm-hmm. You've got these poor kids for a whole host of reasons, and it's not just the schools. There's cultural reasons. There's all sorts of economic reasons, but all those have to be balanced. But when you don't have the kids learning, right, several bad things happen. One, they leave the school, and they get in trouble. They leave the schools, they get to the streets. It's amazing how many kids in Mobile are not even in school. And Dan, I think you know this from the light of the village. You know, you go over there and you find out there's kids that are 13 years old that hadn't been in school in 4 years, and nobody's looking for them. That's because the education is failing. And then the other side of that is we're not training them, educating them, giving them tools to get jobs. We're doing all this nonsense of babysitting them until they're 18 years old instead of going, you know, at 14 or 15, you can choose a vocation. You can go to the community college. You can become a plumber, a truck driver, whatever it is, and go make more money than most of the kids that are going to go to college. And we are failing them, and that's a crisis for Mobile in the bigger picture of the economic development. We need those people to work. We have jobs that are going unfilled, and we got a whole bunch of young people that can't fill them, not because they don't want to, but they're totally ill-equipped, and they don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be resolved across the community, and that's probably the main issue I'll be running on.
And another big issue here in the legislature this session is constitutional carry, or as some of the sheriff's offices prefer it, called permitless carry. And this does seem like it has enough juice to make it through the entirety of the Alabama legislature. Of course, people can hear your takes on many things on Common Sense Radio, 8 o'clock on Thursday nights, but for the morning folks who haven't listened, what's your take on this whole constitutional carry bill?
Look, I think there's a lot more controversy about it than maybe there really is.
Hmm.
First, the Second Amendment is pretty clear. So anything that could possibly prohibit your ability to bear arms, or silly things that makes it illegal. Remember a few years ago we had to have that issue where, you know, some certain businesses said you can't bring a weapon inside. Okay, that's fine. And then they wanted to prohibit it in their parking lot. So basically they disarmed their workers because, you know, you can't even carry it, leave it in your vehicle.
Right.
Anything that prohibits or impedes a citizen's ability to be armed, I am opposed to. And the thing, and I know that in general we don't have this problem with our pistol permits, but I can see the day where it will be political, you go down there to get your pistol permit and you can't get one, and now you're in violation of the law. So I am for the constitutional carry. Now, here's why I don't think it's that controversial. The permit program's not going away.
Right.
I have a pistol permit. You know what? I'm going to keep my pistol permit because I travel to other states, and I want to at least have that because I don't know for sure what the other states, their take is on it. I want that pistol permit. I think the vast majority of people who carry pistols, especially they travel, are still going to get the permit. So, and then the final thing on all of that is, it's the same old thing. The pistol permits are for law-abiding citizens. How many of the criminals, I'd like to see that said, how many of the people committing the crimes had a permit for their pistol? I don't think it's that big an issue. It's blown out of proportion.
I think we kind of know the answer to that.
Yeah, Pete, we appreciate your time this morning, and looking forward to hearing from you Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Common Sense Radio, Common Sense Town Hall with Pete Ream. And thanks for coming on with us this morning, and good luck to you.
Yeah, thank y'all for having us. Y'all have a great Mobile day.
You got it.
Pete Ream.
He's running for the Alabama Senate.
Senate District 33, former Veteran of the Year last year for Mobile. More Mobile mornings on the way.
It is 8:46.
8:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, full-service junk removal from a local company. Trey Bennett does a fantastic job with his crew in Mobile and Baldwin counties. The pricing is up front. What they quote you is what you'll pay. No surprise charges after the fact, and they'll take just about anything from you. That junk you have in your backyard, side yard, front yard, one of the rooms in your house, they'll take it, and they'll do it at your business or your residence. Hey, a quick customer review here from Patricia. Very sweet and honest young men. They went far beyond the call of duty. I will be recommending this company. Carl says, very respectful, asked good questions about the job, and they were decently priced. So some good stuff there. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Set up your appointment today by dialing that number or visiting 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Usually visits us on the phone on a Thursday. Maybe he'll be kind enough to do that again, but we did want to get to Rob Holpert on today because of just a little chit-chat, if we could. A quick one before we get to the top of the hour this morning about the Pritchard Water Board. Rob, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good.
You guys busted this wide open last week.
Yeah, you did.
Gabe Tynes.
Gabe Tynes has a big story on it. We put up Thursday. I've been doing this for more than 30 years. This is kind of the craziest thing, spending spree I've ever seen on a board of any sort. We managed to obtain a bunch of audit records from the Pritchard. It's actually the Water Works and Sewer Board of the City of Pritchard. We'll just call it the Pritchard Water Board. According to the documents, the former manager out there, Nia Bradley, as well as a number of other people, their names are on a bunch of credit card expenses that are just crazy. I mean, there's Gucci bags, there's Louis Vuitton purses, there's hotels.
Colored contact lenses.
Meals and $250,000 of business to something called Unlimited Auto, which never provided any sort of invoices or receipts. It's just on and on. They even bought a food truck for some reason.
And it got stolen.
And it got stolen by another, an employee.
So yeah. So suddenly the Pritchard Water and Sewer System looks like backstage at The Price is Right. How in the world did all this, in just a couple of years, how did all this happen?
Well, that's the question really, Dan. And I mean, this is not, we've been reporting on activities out there for several years, and including when Bradley was hired, she had a clause in her contract that says she could not be fired for cause unless she was convicted of a felony. Convicted of fraud. So I mean, it's kind of like, did you have this in mind already? There have been complaints from the chair of that commission to the ethics department, Alabama Ethics Commission. I think everybody knows about the $1,000 water bills out there. There's been a lot of really big warning signs out there. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't had somebody in law enforcement, either state or local level, look into this before this disaster happened.
Have you ever seen anything this blatant? I mean,
no,
it's amazing.
I mean, there are some. I mean, I'm writing my column this week and just finished it up, actually, but it's basically kind of recounting some of the more ridiculous things we've had over the last, 15 years or so. And this one takes the cake. I mean, we've had some really strange ones, at that Water and Sewer Board out in West Mobile. They were doing all sorts of bizarre stuff out there about almost 9 years ago. We were reporting on that. Nothing ever happened there. There was the one out in Bayou La Batre where the Housing Board people tried to have $4 million given to themselves as a retirement. Nothing has happened with that either. Let's hope something happens with this. I hope there'll be a real investigation and some people are held accountable.
Yeah.
What is Miss Bradley up to these days?
I don't know what she's doing these days. I know one of the things she's doing is getting ridiculed on Facebook. I think that seems to be the primary thing that's going on right now.
Yeah, and there's a new board in charge, right? Like, they've moved a lot of people out and
several
some new
members
people in.
But I wouldn't say it's entirely new. There are some people who left and some, the people who left were her main sponsors, I think.
Yeah, and you got to think this will go possibly beyond her. I mean, it was these expenses
I
so large.
I think it definitely goes beyond her, and I think it definitely, you know, when you look at things, there's some potential that it reaches into people in the city council. There were some expenses and some payments that might drag some other people in there that are other office holders around there.
And what I can't get over, and you mentioned it earlier, is, you know, the complete lack of care for some of these customers they have. I mean, there was one last week that right when Gabe's article was published, Andrea Ramey had a story about a woman who was charged, $2,000 this time, mm-hmm. when her previous water bill was $34, and she's retired on a fixed income. And there's really no avenue except for going to the media for some of these people to try to make this right, and they've just destroyed some of these people's income and savings with these bills.
Yeah, they have, and it's. I mean, we've had several people over the last several years who've come into our office, you know, showing us bills. It's good, you know, for a newspaper to break these things open, but by the same token, I think there is another avenue. I just wonder why it isn't really taken very often. It just seems like around here, a lot of the times when these boards are going off the rails, there's just not really anybody who cares.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable story certainly is going to see its day in court. I think the district attorney made the announcement that they're...
It's under investigation.
Yeah, they're on the case now.
Yeah, they didn't tell us that. They gave us a big fat no comment. Hmm. You know, they wouldn't comment to us, but apparently, I guess the district attorney has told somebody else that it's under investigation. I've heard that one before too. Let's hope something gets done.
You know, unless you're subscribed to LanyatMobile.com, you didn't get in on the ground floor of this story and so many others. Like we said, Gabe broke this one wide open. Rob, if folks want to sign up for Lanyap Online, how can they do so?
You can go to LanyatMobile.com and. Only $1.50 a week, and we're trying to break news like this all the time, folks. There's a lot of information out there. A lot of stuff we're putting up every day. So if you're just picking up the paper, we appreciate you picking up the paper, but you're missing a lot, too.
Thank you, Rob, for your time. 858 FM Talk 106.5 and the Jeff Poore Show is on the way.